Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wished for something with all your heart, but didn't have the words or the vision to call it into existence? Don't feel like a lone ranger. There are countless souls wandering around aimlessly, looking for their missing pieces in life that will complete their big picture of living an abundant, radiant, and thriving life. Today, each and every person suffers from I.O., information overload. We are bombarded with never-ending words. However, I.O. leaves us asking, now what? Where do I go from here? Where do you go to consciously find your way, to receive the answers you desire, to improve your life, health status, your proper lifestyle, your family's health and welfare, is to the now what? Where do I go from here? The Star Waters and Sandy Rogers Show, airing each Thursday from 2 to 3:30 p.m., is where you'll find your answers. Star and Sandy know how confusing it is having this expert or that health professional barking at you with their opinions of what they know you should be eating, which pill for every ill is just right for you, or what you should be thinking about the availability of your time when it comes to providing healthy food for you and your loved ones. When you are constantly convinced that you lack the time to prepare your own food made with ingredients you purposely add and know it is safe and nutritious, you are now being programmed to eat fast, eat processed, because you're too busy. Don't believe the hype. Together, these wellness advocates will provide cutting-edge information, straight, no chasers, to educate you and give you the words and vision to ask the question, now what? Where do I go from here?
Greetings, greetings everyone, and welcome. It's Thursday. Welcome to Now What? Where do I go from here? And you've got two lively moderators, the Wellness Wizard, also known as Waters, and Sandy Rogers, who some have coined the title of Wellness Gangster. And together, we are so enthused and so excited to bring you this program called Now What? Where do we go from here? You know, and it's interesting because we don't know where we're going from here in as far as the direction of the show. So we're just going to let it do what it do. However, or actually how my ancestors used to say, howsin' ever, we're going to make sure that we acknowledge our ancestors first. And we give thanks to the ancestors for their many gifts, their many blessings to us. Because we know without any doubt, without any second guessing, that we stand on the shoulders of our ancestors for strength, for knowledge, for courage, fortitude, resilience, all of that, and more. Those are just a few of the words that we're using. And we understand that now that we know better, we can do better as we follow the golden wisdom to health and wellness that our ancestors shared with us. And sometimes, you know, we was a little hard-headed in listening to what they had to say and swore up and down that when we got grown and had our own children that we was going to do things differently. But ancestors, we thank you for showing us the way. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and we love you. Ashe, 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 oh.
Ashe, oh. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, Sandy. Absolutely, because I know for a fact I was not going to be the kind of mama my mama was, and there are times when I go past the mirror, I startle myself, because not only do I act like her, but doggone it, I look just like the lady, too.
That's a beautiful thing right there, though, girl.
It really is. It really is. Woo! So where do we go from here, Sandy Rogers? I tell you. I do, but I think I want to say it a little bit later so that it makes more sense, if that's okay. Because, because, see, I kind of thought about what we might speak on today based on my own personal challenges that I'm experiencing right now and things that are going on in my life. And I just kind of wanted to toss it out there to our listeners and see maybe, just maybe, if I'm not the only person that's going through what I'm going through right now. So let me just cut to the chase and say that I have to pride myself in saying that I am a pretty doggone good disciplined person for myself. I haven't always been that way, as you know, an example of the fact that I at one time weighed, you know, almost 300 pounds. So a person that weighs that much weight, you can tell just by looking at them, and if you watch them enough and long enough, you can see that they're not really disciplined. They might eat too much. They might eat everything. They have no cutoff, you know, thing, the cutoff zone in their body that tells them when enough is enough. And so over the years of over the years of correcting old habits and forming new habits, I have actually become a very disciplined person. And I know where my weaknesses lie. And I have been able to hold myself accountable, especially around holidays, because I don't step in that quicksand, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that overeating is what they do around the holidays, starting off at, you know, really October for Halloween, and then it goes right into Thanksgiving, from Thanksgiving into Christmas, and then you got the New Year's Eve, and then you got the New Year's Day. And so I have corrected that lack of discipline by basically not buying into the, how should I say, the celebration with people.
Mm-hmm.
And so when January 1st comes around, I'm still on my program. I don't have an issue. I don't have a problem. It just, life just goes on like I have set it up to go. But this particular year, I was around family, and I think I might have talked about that in a show in the past year. And it was good, and as much as I really tried to hang on to eating, you know, not overeating, doggone it, by the time New Year's came, I was overeating. I was eating the wrong food, and I found myself, as you know, Sandy, both you and I, we are faster. I found myself unable to give up food long enough to do something called a fast.
Wow.
And, it is a wow, because that's my lifestyle. And one of the things that I promised myself is that I would never, well, they say never say never. Okay, so I won't say never. I'll correct that. Cancel. That I would always be very conscious of what I put in my mouth, because I do not ever want to weigh almost 300 pounds again. And so I'm calling out a verbal help to our listeners and asking for, I mean, it's not anything that I'm about ready to slip my throat or anything like that, but I am seeing that I am so far away from being disciplined, which I have been in the past, and I absolutely, you know, hang on to that as a lifeline for myself. But it goes to show you, and in this case me, that I am no different. My body is no different from anyone else's. I'm still, how should I say, I am still able to get caught up in the chemicals that are in food. You know, I'm still caught up in eating the sugar, you know. I mean, there for a while, I was buying pastries. Hey, that never happened.
Really?
Yes. Yes. I was going out to the farmer's market, girl, getting the pastries and pulling it out the box and eating it while I'm driving. It's like, okay,
wow.
This is all fun. This is all fun because my daughter's here and we're just sharing this kind of stuff. But Sandy, my daughter went home and I was out there at the farmer's market buying some pastry for myself and I couldn't blame her.
Wow.
She's back in Washington
yeah.
State. So I guess I'm just saying that when we talk about the excitotoxins that are in the food that we eat, even though we know about these things, if we ingest them ourselves, then we're caught up in it. Our bodies are just like everybody else's bodies that don't know about these things. And so that's what I was wanting to talk about today.
But it's a drug. It's just like taking some heroin or cocaine or something. You know, you take that first hit and you hooked. So that's the same way. And I believe, because it seems like I've been saying this more and more lately, and I'm good with it, you know, with repeating it again, is that we don't always put the right measurement or the right amount of weight on how this whole system have been designed to get us hooked on chemicals, on excitotoxins, on sugar, salt, fat, prescription medicines, nonsense on the television, processed foods, fast foods, and it just goes on and on and on. And so I appreciate you taking the time to bring in this subject up, because people need to understand that even with the best intentions, sometimes you can get caught like you did.
Absolutely. And so these holidays, if you actually look broadly at the 12-month spread of the holidays, they are situated throughout the months that even those people that are desperately wanting to change how they eat, you know, because along with holidays come days off, which means that family members have time where they can come and be together, and it's all about being with the family. And so just about the time that you may have gotten yourself together emotionally and mentally and got some discipline going, bam, here comes a holiday, you know, where everybody's together and everybody's not on the same page at the same time with what they do. And then, you know, you don't want to stand out. You don't want to look like you're not really celebrating with everybody, so you'll dibble and dabble. So it's like you mentioned earlier in your example. So, you know, you've gotten clean from the crack. You know, you've gone to rehab, you know, and now all your friends and relatives is now meeting at the crack house. I mean, you have really good intentions about, okay, I'm just going to go and stand up against the wall and, you know, laugh at
and try and save
time
them, right?
Well, yeah, that might be one of the reasons why you go in there. But I tell you, if you're trying to save yourself, don't go there. Because one the things that they talk about being going through recovery, whatever it is, you don't go where that activity is being participated. You don't be around the people that participate in that activity, you know, and you don't do what that activity is. So where do you go when you are in rehab for eating processed food, that, you know, all that stuff? Where do you go when you want to be around family, which is around the holidays? And that has been my dilemma. So for the last couple of years, I have been doing really well. If I did associate with, you know, the celebration and everything, I was a guest, and I ate that meal, and then I came home to what I always have. So I would have a little bit of it. It was good. Yes, it was wonderful, but none of that food was at my house. So what happens to you, especially when you are the one preparing the food, or when you are at the end of the event and you have your Tupperware dishes so you can bring stuff home too, because Big Mama the mayor enough for everybody to take some. As a matter of fact, she's saying, no, y'all, take all this food. See, Big Mama got more sense than we do. Take all this
food. Now, I would get ready to say that. I would like, because ancestors are smart. That's why we the ones taking the crap home, and they looking at us like, look at them. Look at them.
Yeah, you're right. Blaming the victim. That's right. They're the victim, and they blaming us and talking about how we green we are and all that stuff. So I'm just asking for, if there's someone out there listening to us today, am I the only one, or have you experienced this yourself? And if so, did you relent to just saying, oh, what the heck, and just get off your program, and now you're back the way you were, and who knows, you can put on some weight, or now your blood pressure has went up again, or your blood sugar has risen, and, you know, you went to the doctor for a checkup, and now they're going to put you back on the meds if you were lucky enough to have gotten off of them in the first place, you know, because the food is the direct hit on our health, and it happens immediately.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how good you had been in the past. If you're now eating that stuff again, your health will show it immediately.
Yep. And you have brain fog. You have a guilt complex. You don't want to talk to people that, you know, was a part of your support group when you were eating correctly. You're lethargic. You know, you just have a whole bunch of stuff going on when you make that slip or however you want to say it, back to eating the different foods that you're talking about. And so, listeners, our call-in number here to the show is 516-531-9819. And when your line is open, the microphones are very sensitive, and they pick up all types of sounds in the background, like if you move a piece of paper, or, you know, you go to open your door, just, you know, little things are picked up by the mic. So just be careful when you do come on, because there's quite a few people that listen to the rebroadcast. You may even want to listen to the rebroadcast. And so we want to keep the sound as clean as possible. And our number again is 516-531-9819. And you just hit 1 on your dial to let us know you want to speak live on air with us. You don't have to, but, you know, just giving you that option. And if you ever want to go back and listen to any of the rebroadcasts, you can do that at www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, SandyRogers. And so I'm glad that we're delving straight into this issue about the coming off of the eating program, I know I did that, and I've done it several times in the past because sometimes I just want to fit in, and I don't, you know, worry other people about what my particular eating habits are. But, you know, and Star, now that we're talking about it on the straight up in the year of clear vision.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I think that we're doing a disservice to our family and our loved ones that are looking to us for the strength to be able to maintain the lifestyles. And I tell you, I talked to my youngest brother last Friday. It was his birthday, to wish him a happy birthday. And we were, you know, just kind of talking and chit-chatting. And he's not the easiest one in the family to convince about making changes and stuff like that. And, you know, and I'm good with it. But he said, he calls me Red. He said, well, Red, he said, I just want to take this time to thank you for the impact that you've had on my life. And I was like, really? What you mean by that? And he says, like, I'm looking at you. You smoked for 40-something years, and you just quit. You didn't have no problems. You wasn't sick. You didn't have any cravings, withdrawals. You didn't add any of that other craziness to smoking cigarettes, you know, the what all that stuff that they say you got to take in order to come off of the cigarettes and stuff. And he said, and I just marvel at how you were able to make that change. He said, and now the way that you eat and how you're not on any medications and you look so healthy and you look so radiant. And I'm listening to my youngest brother say all of that, right? So the point that I'm making is that even though I've done it, you've done it, and probably everybody on here has done it, perhaps people really are looking to us to be the strength and to set the example for their own lives.
Yeah, I believe so. And half of the people, when we relent and eat what everybody else is eating out of, not, I won't say fear, but out of, you know, this feeling that, oh, I don't want them to put them easy and all that. Half of the people are looking at us saying, yeah, I knew she wasn't all that. Mm-hmm. Look at her. She eating just like
probably
what everybody else eats. Where the other half are looking at us when we do stay on our course and go, wow, she's good. I mean, all this good food and she's brought her own food, or she's eating just selected things. She's not eating what everybody else. So in that sense, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation. So in order for it to work for you, I think you got to just please you. Just please you.
Yeah.
Do what you what brings you joy and what makes your health the way that it is. Because I'm going to say this before I forget. Your brother was talking about you not being on medication. Now, I don't know if you want to throw this out. You can give us a, you know, a span of a decade or so of how old you might be at this particular time. However,
woo-hoo, I'll be
if you tell the truth,
in June. Woo-hoo-hoo. 70
All right.
Yep.
And don't look like it. Don't look like it. Don't act like it. Don't move like it. You know what I'm saying? But
Thank you. No, seriously.
But here's the situation. A woman of your age and a woman of my age, I will be 72 in
a month,
a little over a month. When you tell the doctors and the nurses and just people in general that you take no prescription medication, they cannot believe it because almost everybody is on some type of medication. That is the plan.
That's the system in America.
Yep.
That's right. And so just that fact alone that you're not on medication, I mean, generally they have you on at least five medications. And when you're an elder, you are even
yep.
on more than that. I know of a lady
yep.
that she was showing me her medication, and you know those paper bags, paper grocery bags? She
uh-huh.
had not one, but two of those paper
wow.
grocery bags, shopping bags, full of medication that
wow.
she took. I mean, really, how can people take that many pills a day? How do you even have room in your stomach for food taking that many pills a day?
Yeah.
I mean, they just program us to that we are so ill, so sick, that we have to be on medication. So your brother acknowledged a really amazing thing, that you are on no medication. Whoop, whoop for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, for real. But, you know, they start you, it gets earlier and earlier. It used to be 50. You know, when you got to 50, that you needed to start taking something. You know, they're gonna find something and make you take a pill for it. But I think that's backed up to like 40 now, and it may be younger. I don't even know.
Well, quiet is kept when you said even younger, you don't even know. They target two age groups. The first age group that they target are the elders, the older
mm-hmm.
people. The second age group that they target are the children and the infants.
Yes, it's sad.
It's very sad.
It's very sad.
I mean, at this particular time, I can't remember, you know, exactly what they said about how much medication is being taken by all of the infants and children, babies in the United States alone. And one of the biggest groups of children that are on prescription drugs are those children that are in the foster care system. You know,
that's even worse.
They have nobody to advocate for them. You know, the
exactly.
people that are raising them are basically there for the money. And so,
yeah.
you know, they're just the custodials that they take them to the doctor. The doctor, you know, puts them on a pill. That didn't work. Or they add another pill. Now there's a reaction from the pill. I mean, it's just really sad. So those kids are disenfranchised. They're not with anybody that loves them. And then their bodies are being chemically controlled by all of the medication that they have them on. And I know we're kind of going off subject a little bit, but we are a chemically driven and controlled group of people here in the United States. And food is one of them. And that's something that people cannot connect the dots with or wrap their heads around. How can food be bad for you when we have to eat it?
Yeah, yeah. It's
and the answer to that is, well, yeah, you have to eat food, but the to take it further, you must eat real food.
Mhm.
Because other than
that, that's something
then
that sometimes we
really...
don't.
Go ahead, Sam.
No, I was going to say sometimes we don't even understand what real food is. You know, like. You can sit and have conversations, and I guess it's just all a matter of perception, you know, what different people, how they get to define. But I am going around and I'm seeing so many, talking with so many different people, and they say, well, yeah, you know, I feed my children only, you know, the best that I can find. But yet and still, you know, they're buying their kids. Have you seen the stuff they got? Applesauce in these containers now that you don't even see the contents, and you push it. It's like a like those drinks that they put in those containers. I don't even know how to explain it. Okay, so it's like a square or a rectangle. And then it has like a little knob or a little tube, a little opening on the top of it.
and you screw off the top, and then you just push it, and then the applesauce from the inside goes into your mouth. Have you seen that?
I have not seen it, but you have answered a question that I had in my mind. I was out at a store over the weekend, and they had these young people working behind the counter that looked like they were maybe like 22, you know, 24, that kind of thing, maybe in that age group. And they were discussing eating applesauce or drinking it. And one lady said, drinking applesauce?
Yep.
I've never heard of such a thing. You mean you do applesauce like with a spoon? I've never heard of such a thing. And I'm listening to this going, what are these people talking about? So you answer the question, because no, I did not know anything about that. I mean, but they had a thing going, like they had half of the people that was like, yeah, drinking applesauce. And the other people was like, what? So, wow.
Well, it was, you know, like, so this friend of mine was like, well, yeah, Sandy, that ain't nothing new. She does some homeschooling with some children, you know. She's like, well, yeah. And so it's just interesting how this stuff happens, and people, you know, will take it and don't understand that you pay a price for that convenience. And how does that saying go, freedom ain't free? You know, so healthy stuff ain't going to come in no kind of container like that. And a friend of mine, bless her heart, I'm not going to say her name, but she's listening. But we had a meeting yesterday at this establishment, and she decided she was going to have a slider, which is just a small hamburger is what it is. And so when it came, I was like, I said, is that a hamburger? She said, yes. And she kind of had this strange look on her face. I was like, I ain't judging. I'm just asking, right? So she had three sliders with the fries, you know, the pickles and all of that kind of stuff. They really did look yummy. And she ate two or one and a half. And then we left from there, and we went to another establishment. She was introducing me to some additional ladies, some entrepreneurs in the community. And she said before she got to that next meeting, she was taking napkins and paper towels and everything she had to wipe the grease off of her tongue, and how sick those hamburgers made her just in that short period of time. And so sometimes even when we want to do stuff or eat things outside of what we normally consume, our bodies, like I think you said it, Star, earlier, our bodies can't handle that. You know, it's like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? You done did all of this for us.
You
sit up and you feed me. What?
Yeah. And then after a while, your body starts craving it and starts calling for it.
Yeah.
At first it rejects it because it's like, whoa, wait a minute. What are you sending down? Oh, my God, the grease. Oh, my God, the this. Oh, my God, the that. You know, and maybe you might even feel a little sick. But then you start force feeding it to yourself because
like the babies.
Yeah. Like you do the babies, right. And then you're like, oh, you know what? That was kind of good. Let me have another one, you know? And then before you know it, your body is saying, stop on by here. Let's pick up a couple of sliders, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And somehow
the babies
don't. Yeah, babies know because their bodies are so pure and so clean, you know.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you
about
out of control. We force them. Oh, my God, you will eat this.
Yeah.
You will spit it out. Put it back in. Spit it out. Put it back in. Spit it out. Four kids just go, okay, all right. I can see I'm not going to win this, so let me swallow it. Okay. I had this experience. when I was with my husband when he was stationed in Germany for 5 years, and of course, what they have in Germany is German stuff, but I still mm-hmm. had the American mindset, and my whole thing was when I get home, I am going to go to McDonald's. I'm going to have me a Big Mac. I wanted a Big Mac, okay, because when I left the States, I was eating any and everything. I was eating pork. I was eating chitlins. I was eating everything, okay? But while mm-hmm. I was in Germany is where I became a vegetarian. So for 3 years, I ate no meat. I didn't eat any meat. When I got home, my mom had gotten a half of a cow. She had bought a half a cow and had it all cut up and, you know, wrapped up all nice and labeled and put in her freezer. And when we announced that we were not eating meat, my mom said, "Oh, you gonna eat this meat? I done paid this money." And that was when I first realized what a manipulator my mother was. I didn't, you know, she manipulated so well in the, you know, before that I just went along with what she said. She, you know, spoke real soft and everything, and I just did whatever she said. But I started mm-hmm. eating this meat. It was mostly steak, and just the texture of it just really turned me off. But I guess I ate enough of it that my body started craving it. And one day wow. I was driving down the street, and I must have had a blackout or something, or an out-of-body experience, I don't know. But I know that I was clearly driving down the street going somewhere. The next thing that I saw happening that I became conscious of was that I was standing in a McDonald's at the counter looking at the little menu thing up on the ceiling, and I wow. heard come out of my mouth, "I'll have a Big Mac." I swear wow. to you, Sandy, I don't know how I got off of the main street into the McDonald's parking lot. I don't remember that. I don't remember parking the car. I don't remember wow. getting out of the car to walk into the store.
Hmm.
The only thing I remember was standing at the counter saying, "I'll have a Big Mac." And it was from that point that I said, "I don't care, bag it. I'm not eating no more beef." And I let beef go forever and for good. And I've never had beef since then. That, that what do you call it?
Awakening.
The urge, the craving was so, it took over my body that I blacked out.
Wow.
You know, I must have seen the sign McDonald's and my mind said, "Oh, yeah, Big Mac." And I don't remember the steps that it took for me to get out of my car, off the main road, to being in the McDonald's store. So,
but, you know, that's what our guest
will take us out.
Last week, our day, that's what he was talking about. You know, being such a glutinous race of people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and as you were saying, McDonald's, I'm looking at the golden arches, you know, and all of that. And the guy that did the documentary Supersize Me. And so, and it just connected to what Ade has said last week. So, you know, we're glutinous because we have been taught that you need to, it's only going to cost you a couple of cents more, and you get to get all this extra food. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like we think we're getting a value because we're supersizing it, and it's like we're getting twice as much, but we're not paying twice as much for the food. And so it's just, you know, man, unlearning all of this stuff that we've learned is just amazing to me, just amazing. Can I play a song?
And that's
right
what we call. That's what we call.
Remind
value.
Us. Yeah, indeed. So I'm gonna play a quick little record for You know, I'm still old school records, and they don't think they call them records anymore. So I'm gonna play this quick song. How about that?
Sure, I'll play.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food, and we eat
that's
the
right.
junk. We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food, and we eat.
eating the junk.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food.
And we're eating the junk.
We don't know what we're eating.
Not food at all.
And we're eating the junk.
Because we get it out of a grocery store. And it's not food at all. I know I was telling my dad, because he liked the Pringles potato chips. I'm like, Daddy, you ever thought about how they get each one of those potato chips in that exact same shape? They never crumble. He's like, nah, I ain't gave much thought to that. Like, well, maybe they're manufactured in a laboratory somewhere. You cannot get a potato like that and fill up all those cans that they sell those potato chips in. Come on, Daddy. We've allowed the pressure of a materialistic society to take us away from the things that are really important.
And we eat the junk.
Like being there with your children versus working two jobs. So that you have this fine car.
And we're eating the junk.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food.
And we're eating the junk.
We don't know what we're eating.
It's not food at all. What was such an eye-opener for me was when my grandchildren were small. So we're talking about 12, 14 years ago. And that was when I first started the juicing natural apples and carrots and celery. And my grandchildren were like, Grandma, what is this? It's not clear. You didn't buy this out the store. Oh, Grandma. They didn't know. They just had no idea what natural looked like. So then I started broiling fish. My mom don't cook like this. Can you go teach her how to cook? Because this tastes good. We don't take the time to prepare healthy meals.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food. We don't know what we're eating.
Not food at all. So now, I read this article that said one of the reasons why people are so overweight is that there's no nutritional value.
And we're eating the junk.
So your body is craving vegetables. So you go and you get a hamburger, a diet soda, and some french fries, and you eat this, and your stomach is full at that moment, but just in a short period of time, your body is like, hey,
and we're eating the junk.
I'm hungry again,
and we're eating the junk.
So you go out, and now you get potato chips, and I don't know, candy bar.
And we're eating the junk.
You just made me think about that song as you were telling me about your story from McDonald's, you know, because this stuff is so real, and it hasn't just began. That song is years old. I can't for the life of me remember the year that was recorded. But it's not even important. The point is,
it's timeless. It's timeless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. It's because I don't care. I probably have heard that song probably about 20 times. And every time you rock it, my body does the same thing. It just moves to it, but my mind is soaking it in. Because we don't know what we're eating. We don't know what we're eating, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I went on the internet this morning and found a new science, and I didn't look it up before we got on the show, so maybe I'll take time to do that before we hang up. But it's a nutritional, like a psychiatrist that also deals with nutrition, because they're seeing the connection now between mental illness and what we eat.
Yeah.
So shoot. I wish I wasn't so old in age. I'd go back to school for that one because it's brand new.
Don't even let that be a discouragement for you. It's interesting that you said it the way that you said it, because when you were describing this new science, what was coming to my mind was, we've been saying this stuff. We don't have letters
behind our name.
But why do we, I'm talking about me and you specifically in this moment, we have been telling people this same stuff. The food is making you act like that. The aggressiveness of the drivers, how these little kids act, how people don't speak to one another, how everybody is in this brain fog. We have been talking this stuff for years, but now they got a new science? Come on now. Our ancestors told me and you, y'all go out there and teach the truth to people. You ain't got to go to no college and get no degree. You already have it in your DNA. You got the truth in your DNA.
Yep.
It amazes
and then you have
me. It just amazes me.
And then
me.
You have this dialogue for people that want to put the information and the wisdom down by saying, what she know? She ain't no doctor.
Yep.
My doctor ain't never mentioned that to me, you know.
Yep.
And he done been in school.
Yep.
But the issue is that, but you got to go to the doctor. And the people that are saying the information don't have to go to the doctor.
Yep.
So does that make sense? I mean, connect the dots on that, okay?
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know how when people become artists, you know, and then here comes this term, the starving artist. So when people are artists and they're out there drawing pictures, you know, and people walk past them and keep on walking, and, you know, they wouldn't even take the paintings or whatever if the person gave it to them. But all of a sudden, when the artist dies, all that artwork becomes so valuable.
Isn't it amazing?
The artist is now dead. Huh?
Okay, isn't it amazing?
Yes. So I guess in order for people to really ingest, no pun intended, what it is that we are trying to share with others, maybe we have to go on to the heavens above. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
When does it become a value? You know, when does it become a value to the people, the everyday people who are suffering in one form or another?
So I have people that reach out to me, like you have people that reach out to you. And so this real good friend of mine was taking me back and forth to my eye appointments, especially when they dilated my eyes and when I had the cataract removal surgery. And so she was telling me about her room and that how he was had gone to the doctor, was diagnosed with something or another, was put on some medication, and how he just kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse after months, and he was getting worse, and she was helping him in every way that she knew how, and giving him ginger shots and you know, fixing his food for him and just, you know, just everything. She was doing everything that she knew. And so she was, and we kept talking about it, and we kept talking about it, and we kept talking about it. And so I finally said to her, I said, I think he's over-medicated. That's what it sounds like to me. And again, I ain't got no degree, and I ain't trying to diagnose nobody. I just said, I want to get this plain because I don't want nobody, you know, accusing me of doing something illegal because I ain't went to college for it. But I just said, I think that he's been misdiagnosed and he's over-medicated. I'm going by all this other stuff that I'm looking at. Starve when I go to the hospital and I see my friends, you know, and they're just crippled over in pain. And they keep coming in with, you know, like cups and cups full of pills. But they don't know what's wrong with the person. I think that's insane. Why are you taking that crap and they don't know what's wrong with you? Anyway.
Right.
Sorry,
right.
y'all.
It's
I digress
okay.
over there. But she called me, and she was so excited. She said, Sandy, I want to tell you that my friend, my roommate, went to the doctor because they, you know, they ran all these tests, and they don't understand why he's having these reactions. And he indeed had been misdiagnosed and therefore was taking the wrong medication. She said, I just had to let you know. That made me feel good. You
imagine
know,
that.
Because she didn't have to tell me. She didn't have to listen. She didn't have to pass what I told her on to him for him to, you know, to take another look at what could possibly be going on with him. So, Star, you know, when things like that happen, it gives me a little bit more hope, you know, just keep going, just keep going. And so that's all we can do. That's all we can do, sweetie, is to, you know, just keep telling people. And by sharing the knowledge that you are sharing today, it's so courageous for you to say, yeah, y'all, you know, we've been doing this for a couple of months now, but I ain't really, you know, follow what I know to follow during the holidays, because now people can relate. You know, they can say, all right, I really want to hear the story now. But she just said she didn't do it during the holidays because of family and stuff. So I think we're on the right track. I feel we're on the right track. We just got to keep doing what we're doing. Any tie-ins out there in the audience, feel free to join us.
Please.
The call-in number is 516-531-9819. Just hit 1 on your dial to let us know you want to speak live on air with us. If you're already called in, just hit 1 if you have a comment, question, or if you want to share in the discussion.
Yes, please do. True inquiring minds want to know. So I guess while we're waiting, I will then read the motivation that I found. Maybe it'll make more sense now. Are you ready?
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So it is entitled, guess what? Discipline. It is no accident that the words discipline and disciple come from the same root.
Ooh.
To be a discipline of any path, one must be, to be a disciple of any path, one must be disciplined. Life works best when we learn to discipline ourselves. Discipline liberates rather than confines you. Discipline allows you to function with ease and grace. After years of practicing his strokes, a tennis player can hit the ball without having to think about it. What once took conscious effort is now second nature. Unfortunately, many of us had disciplines forced upon us as children. Naturally, we rebelled against the externally imposed structure. We were not shown that true discipline always comes from within, and the motivation for that urge is love. when we are doing what we love, when we are pursuing something that has meaning, discipline becomes natural. As one Olympic athlete explained, I don't mind working out every day because I love what I am doing. My training is not a burden to me, but a joy. Discipline is your ticket to freedom and path to excellence. Choose to be disciplined in all of your endeavors and become the master of yourself and your life.
I like that.
And then again,
I will
repeat one of the affirmations. Thank you. Discipline is my ticket to freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
I wanted to wait into the show to say that so that it would make more sense.
And it makes a lot of sense.
Yes, it really does. It really does. So.
All right. So where do we go from here?
That was what I was getting ready to say. We are so on target with one another.
I
with
know,
the flow.
Right?
But what I was going to say was, so I guess hearing all of this, and like I said, I am very disciplined, audience, really I am. And
yes,
to see myself struggling... to see myself struggling like I'm struggling, I know what my aha is, and that is to go ahead and finish all the food that I have in my refrigerator and my pantry that is not of like mind that I have. And then that will free me because my home, my kitchen, is my sanctuary and my refuge. And
right.
I might go through the craving, but it's not here, you know. And I'm not so far gone that I'm going to get in my car, ride to the store, walk up and down the aisles, and get the crack, you know, that I'm craving. No. I mean, at some point along the way, I have all kind of times and chances to say, no, I'm not going to do this. So I just do it before I take that step out of my apartment. So my first endeavor to get my conditioning back is to get rid of all of the crap in the house. You know.
Okay.
My daughter bought me a wonderful popcorn maker so that we could take popcorn to my niece's house for, you know, movie night. And then, you know, I got popcorn, so I've got just a little more popcorn left in the container. And when I eat that up, the oil that I bought for the popcorn will be gone because my home was oil-free, and there will be no more oil.
And
so
you got
these
oil.
Are my action steps. I got oil. I got, girl, I got the, you know, the olive oil, the, you know, the...
Oh, my goodness, I can't believe that.
Yeah, Sandy, isn't that something?
But
I got oil. Girl, I got to say, Sandy, to make, I got oral. Girl, I got oral.
Now,
yes,
you guys,
I'm
so serious.
I'm
blowing the smoke at you. Star, when she says she's going to do intermittent fasting, she don't eat 1 second before the time starts, and she don't eat 1 second after. If she says she's only doing raw, and if you say, well, I just steamed it, she ain't going to eat it. I mean, she is, to me, the most disciplined person when it comes to her eating, especially when she proclaims that she's going to do all raw food. And she way surpasses me in that because I'll be like, well, look, that it did one thing, you know, or something like that. But
absolutely.
So I'm just surprised.
Which makes
I am.
Girl, I done went all the way down the rabbit hole. Honey, seriously. I'm standing up here with the card people, with the deck of card people, honey. I mean, call me Alice. I am so far down the rabbit hole. I mean, I got to call for rescue, you know. So, yeah, you know, I got oil. I'm going to get rid of that oil. Yes, yes, yes. So I said, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to finish this out. I'm going to eat up the popcorn. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do all of that. I made me, okay, so at Carla's event, I did the raw, no fried rice. I had some rice left over, and I made fried rice. It don't taste as good to me as my raw dish, but guess what? I made it. I'm going to eat it. I ate that for my breakfast this morning. Bam, gone.
Okay.
I don't have to worry about no rice no more. As it's leaving, and of course it's leaving through my body, but I have a plan. And that plan is, if it's not here, I can't eat it. I might still crave it, but it ain't here, I can't eat it.
So
those are my action plans.
Okay.
I've had to do it before, and I know it works well. So how do I, the next holiday or the next year, when I want to be around family, how will I condition my mind and my body so that I just show up and start without there being any guilty things on my behalf, without me projecting what I'm thinking that the people are thinking, you know. That's a projection that's coming from me. I should be able to be who I am, whether or not I'm by myself or whether I'm with other people. Now, one thing I know that I will do, any invitations to restaurants, I quickly say, no, I won't be able to do that. The only restaurant I go to, Sandy, is, you know, our second home, which is I'm not going to give them no plug, but they have a wonderful salad bar there. And Sandy and I do go there, but I'm still eating raw food. But
any other restaurant, all raw.
I mean, I bring my own salad dressing and everything. I don't have nothing that's processed there at all. But any other restaurant, as Jill Scott say, I decline, you know. And nobody even cares because they want to go to the restaurant. And you know what? They were just being nice to ask me if I wanted to come along. So I haven't stopped their flow. And they don't care that I'm not there, you know, because one monkey don't stop no show.
Yeah. And I think it shows an acceptance of other people for me, and maybe this is all that stuff that I've made up my head, but that's how we, you know, come up with our judgments and stuff anyway. But for me, like, especially going into Los Angeles, I've done it different kind of ways when I go there. Some days, you know, sometimes I'll take my juicer with me and it's all smoothies, or, you know, I'm only going to go to the farmer's market and get my food. This last time I went in last year, I think it was the end of July, the 1st of August, I ate whatever. But, you know, and so my family have seen me doing both things. And I think going forward for me, Star, is that I'm not doing that wishy-washy any kind of thing. I'm going to stay true, you know, because I know I feel better. I feel lighter. I feel more alert, more alive, more active, more aware, because when I do a lot of that other stuff, you know, it's just kind of like brain fog, and I'm ready to go to bed. I'm always wanting to sleep because my body, just like my friend yesterday, you know, she was like, oh, my God, I feel horrible, you know, after eating that one slider. Mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah, it's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, I think that we should ask for accountability help. When we get ready to leave our domain, you know, almost like a 7-step program. If I'm feeling weak, you know, give you a call and have you talk me back off the ledge or whatever, you know.
There you go.
Because
I won't
be able to get that kind of accountability from where I'm going because everybody's eating that way. You know, and I don't want to appear to be like a whiner. Oh, my God, I can't eat that. You know, show up something you can't eat and shut up. You know, we don't want to hear all this. This is the way we eat, and it's doing us just, you know, Big Mama and them ate like this. What's your problem?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Who do you
yeah.
think you are? You know? Yeah, but Big Mama died of, you know, had her feet cut off and everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
you're not there for that. You're there to enjoy the company of people. Who knows,
right.
it might be the last time that either of you see one another, you know? So
true, true.
You know, so it's more than just the food, but when we are so taken back and controlled by what it is the food is all about, because, my goodness, it's been almost 2 weeks now, and I'm still holding on to this monkey on my back. Everybody else has gone on with their life. They're still doing what they've always done, and I'm up here drinking oil, you know, on my popcorn and stuff, you know?
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your biggest lesson in this whole process? You know, I have no clue what it could be, but what's your biggest lesson?
My biggest lesson is hone in the discipline on a different level. You know, hone it in on some things that you can do when you are around other people, especially family. I don't really have a problem with being around other people in general, but I think it's family that I have the weak spot for, because I don't see them that often, and they're happy to see me, and, you know, the celebration is centered around the food, and we have this mirror type thing that we have going on with each other. It's an acceptance thing. So when you are standing there talking with someone, looking in their eyes, and they're popping a donut in their mouth, and their eyes have rolled back, you know, they're feeling it, right? And you have a carrot stick that you're eating, there is an immediate disconnect between the two of you because you're not on the same level.
Right, right.
So you don't have that honest, sincere connection in the moment. So I have to do something that either it would be not eat anything, because I've done it where I've been fasting, but it's on a whole nother level when I'm fasting. It's like, are you sure
right.
you don't want to eat? You know, no, I'm fasting. Oh, girl, everything is so good. Are you? Can we just have this a little bit? So it really don't matter. I mean, I think really, I just need to stay home. That's what my biggest takeoff, you know, is. When you are around other people that are not thinking the way that you think around food, it's just best to keep your behind at home. Mm-hmm. Let them enjoy themselves, and then, you know, well, you just missed out on it. But that has worked for me in the past, you know.
Okay.
But I did gain a lot of camaraderie by being with my family, but I'm still suffering now. They've moved on.
Yeah.
They're still eating the way they always ate. I'm up here trying to – I asked the audience for a lifeline. I'm needing somebody to pull me up out of this murk here. Help me.
Hmm.
And so thank you for asking that question, because you had me to really think what works best for me. And what works best for me is to keep my behind at home.
Yeah.
Or either come after the food is all over with. That's another thing, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I'm just referencing because Ade was such a tremendous guest last week. But, you know, one of the things that he shared with us last week was people that don't eat the same way that you do don't think the same way that you do. So, you know, when you decide to be around those individuals, you have to adjust your thinking and your stand and your viewpoints on life accordingly, and not to hold it against them or, you know, your ability to relate to them, but just understand that they don't get it the same way that you do. And so you have to be strong in that. And so I really appreciated him saying that last week. And then, too, I know, like, for me, especially when I go into Los Angeles, because it's such a different energy there. And that's where I was born and raised. I spent the first 45 years of my life there. So, you know, I got all of my weaning and all of my growing up and roots planted there and things like that. And so when I go back, and I've been on urine therapy for 7 years now, and when I go, just like Ade was saying, when I need support, there's one person in Los Angeles, Shatan, that I can call when I need to get my fix on somebody that has that same energy level. And that's what I do. I don't have the same challenge, perhaps, Star, that you do, but the urine therapy is where I have the biggest challenge to get someone that is of a like mind and like energy. And so I get, you know, what you're saying with that. And so finding the middle road, would you think that would be best? Or you're saying for you, you just have to stop. And I know it's not the, you know, the one size fit all kind of solution here.
Well, when you talk about the urine therapy, a lot of that is kind of done in privacy, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
So, I mean, so you pick your times when you participate in those activities, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, it's still the same, because I know I had gone home one time and I was doing the urine therapy, and, you know, it was kind of like a covert action thing where I'd sneak my stuff into the bathroom and, you know, get up really early in the morning and all of that. It seemed like it just took even more effort to do me, you know, without someone busting me or asking questions, you know. So I can see both sides of it, you know. You know,
that's why you're the wizard and I'm the gangster, right?
Yeah. I don't know. That wizard thing ain't working out too well for me. I'm going to have to come and give some gangster lessons, because I need to learn how to be a little bit more bolder, you know, because people eat wizards up and spit them out. Chew them up and spit them out. The only thing they can't chew is my wand, you know. So.
Hey, we got a caller. Let me open up the line right quick, okay?
All right.
Caller 678-558. You want to tell us who you are and your contribution to the conversation?
It's Wanda D, the motivational queen.
Hey, motivational queen.
Hey, Wanda D.
Hey, I really don't have any contribution. I looked up, I saw the time. I said, let me jump on here right quick. From what
Thank
I could, cause what I know
Thank
is that
you.
Y'all are delivering, you know, great information and insight. So I just want to say I love you. I love you too, and thank you
love
for everything
you.
That you
we
do.
We love you too. Thank you for
so
adding
what
your voice
about,
to the air.
What we were talking about, motivational queen, is not following our declared eating regimen during the holidays and doing more of what everybody else is doing and how that looks currently in our life. So that was the whole gist of the conversation. And how do you deal with that? You know, like what lessons were learned and, yeah.
Well, you know, this year we had something that we did really fun, right? So
right,
I think it helped
right.
in your own community, you know. And let's just face it, once you get over what people think about you, it doesn't matter whether it's food or just your personal lifestyle, you'll be able to maintain, I believe, the life that you want. Because all of this, you know, whether it's food or somebody could tell you, hey, you know, you shouldn't work that job. Why are you working that job? Why are you doing
mm-hmm.
that business? You know, who? Why
mm-hmm.
are you with that person? Once we start not giving a hoot what other people think and just go do us and regardless and not be shamed because of it, I think that and I think that's direction for now. It's a new day. You know, everybody is kind of like, you could feel the energy of more self-awareness and, you know, people being accepting whatever they're doing. And just kind of understand that people that judge, they just don't really know any better. You know, they're conditioned to who they are. So you got to be just standing up strong for who you are. You know, that's the way I feel about it.
And they also feel confident in the numbers game. So it's way more people in numbers that are doing the traditional compared to the one or the half a one that they might run into that's doing something that isn't traditional. For instance, you alluded to this, the Thanksgiving meal that we all had, five of us sisters, where it was a totally plant-based meal. And, you know, and it was absolutely wonderful. It smelled, I mean, the aroma stayed in my apartment literally for days afterwards. I mean, I could have got some oils and, you know, infused them into the air, but I didn't want to. It smelled good. But, you know, the thing about it is that people feel more confident in the numbers that they are in. I always have to think back when my journey and before I even knew anything about eating only vegetables. You know, they didn't have at that time a term called vegan or anything like
mm-hmm.
that. It was mostly vegetarian, okay? And when that young lady approached me with a vegetarian cookbook, I almost laughed in her face. I mean, it took everything that I had to keep from actually laughing in this woman's face. And it was like, honey, bless your heart. I mean, and she was maybe about 2 years younger than me, but I'm now sounding like a big mama. Oh, bless your heart, baby. I would just die if I couldn't have a pork rib. Oh, my God, for real? You know, so I have to think back and put myself in that person, that Anita, that was my name, Anita, in her shoes at that time, so that I can give grace to people now that are wearing those shoes. I've been there. I've worn them. I've heard it and seen it. And got the cats to wear to show for it. But, you know, mm-hmm. along the way, things that happened in my life, I've met people, you know, that have shaped me to the woman that I am now. And so we don't all grow at the same time. We don't all learn at the same time. So I just got to worry about me and keep myself together. So thank you for that one.
Yeah.
And just get over it. Just get over it, you know. Hey, if you want to be with the people, go with the people. Whatever they say or do, that's their experience. You know, that's what they got to do at this time. But it's going to take you, what is it, today is the 9th of January. I'm still struggling. I'm still eating cooked food. You know, I did make a wonderful raw cream of broccoli soup yesterday in my blender that was absolutely divine, you know. For those of you that would like to see it and get the ingredients, I posted it on my Facebook page, Granny Gone Raw. So go to Granny Gone Raw. You'll have the recipe, the ingredients. It took me all of 10 minutes to make.
Wow.
And it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it was. Well,
yeah.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
Granny don't play. Granny go wrong, but she don't play. And the food tastes good. It's really good.
But you're making your way back, and you're acknowledging those things that you've done. And that's what I'm saying. You know, I think that's wonderful that you would step up like that and share your testimony with the listeners so that people can understand, you know, that if you do decide that you're going to run into some roadblocks along the way. It's not going to all be just, you know, I was going to say anyway, I'm not going to say it. I was going to use some food in there right there, but you know, that is not going to easy, you know. Yeah, you got to do some things differently. And so with you being so honest and open, Star, with sharing, you know, like what your experiences were over the holidays and your reasons why and the challenging that you're facing now, things that you're going to do differently, I think it's helping people to be like, okay, you know, like I'm going to be all right. I can do this. I can do this. And so you give people hope by sharing your authentic story.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And I think we
Thank
also
you,
have to be gentle on ourselves.
Yes.
You know, because every day is a new day. It's a, you know, mm-hmm. it's an opportunity to do better than you did yesterday. Every day, you know, to reflect on whatever it is, you know, whether it's food or anything else, and just be forgiving and kind to yourself and go ahead on and make those, you know, make those steps, because it's a journey,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what I hate to see most of the time is when people, you know, feel so defeated that they don't keep trying.
Right,
you know.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So when we get knocked down, we just gotta get up and just try it again. And because you know, people are just really, you know, feeling like, oh, I can't do it, so I won't try again.
Mm-hmm,
and then the sad part about it is when they get that health report from the doctor, they wish that they would have tried it one more time. You know,
exactly.
So
you're right. Yes.
Yeah. So
right.
it takes you all, you know, in the community of wellness believers to just keep people encouraged. So on the flip side of going to those events that have the you know, more variety, different types of eating, I think you're really a blessing when you step into those environments and can share your story and can share your testimonial
mm-hmm.
and give people maybe like in giving them one recipe that they can go home and try, you know, because they don't know what they don't know. But
right.
if you know it, don't isolate yourself, because you're the blessing that you're isolating, the blessing that could be good for somebody else.
That's right.
But she
Thank
rocked
you,
the house
boy.
On New Year's Day. We did this Rock the New Year event, and Star made some no fry rice. It was raw. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody was just amazed with it. So yeah, she was able to demonstrate, you know, to that group of people as well.
Y'all are amazing anyway. Both of y'all and y'all culinary art skills is impressive. So you know,
thank you, Wanda.
Well, you do pretty good yourself, Miss Wanda.
You got down there on Thanksgiving, and I know you be burning.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your view or your perspective on this. I just wanted to be transparent, you know, to our listeners that, I'm a real disciplined person, but hey, people, I got to work back up to that now because I'm, you know, I didn't fail. What is it? I fall down,
I'm in the process of getting up again. So
yes, ma'am.
Yeah, but I am going to encourage our listeners to get that recipe. Go on Facebook, Granny Gone Raw, and you will see the soup from it being in the blender to it being in the bowl. And I had garnished it with what you call it, with avocados and hemp seeds, hemp heart seeds, and it was jamming. It was jamming.
Hey, all
so,
these
yeah.
got avocados mm-hmm. for 33 cents a piece.
Cool.
Really?
Did you hear me? Yeah, 33 cents. Yep.
Aldi's
have avocados for 33 cents. Yep. Aldi's.
Okay. Well,
I'm
going
to have to run down there and get some.
I know, right?
Yeah, because you got an Aldi's
we
right
love,
by your house. I know you do.
Yes,
and
right
so
down the street.
Sandy.
And we love them.
Yeah.
Everybody
okay.
do. Addison eat them just
right.
like, you know, she eat avocados and tomatoes and mushrooms like all the time.
Oh,
wow.
excellent. Yeah,
good.
that's a good essential vitamin oil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah,
so let me ask you.
Just had to let you guys know that.
Okay, thank you.
I love
yes.
it. Thank you.
Wanda, so can you share with us what your foresight, what your plans are for this year of 2020 Clear Vision and also the year of the mouse? What do you have
the year
in
of
store
the mouse?
For your future? Yes, ma'am, the year of the mouse.
You have to educate me on what that means.
Whatever comes out of your mouth manifests almost immediately. So you must
wow.
think and even think twice before you speak it out. It is amazing. It's the year of the mouth, 2020. So not only clear vision, but, magical words coming out of your mouth. So you'll either, by default, you know, manifest it, you know, something that you don't want because you done said something a little crazy, you know. Let me explain to you, all of our listeners, the universe has no, what do you call it, sense of humor. So you can't say something like, girl, I'm so broke, I can't even pay attention. Cancel, universe, I ain't said that. You cannot joke like that because this is serious for the year 2020. It's the year of the mouth. Speak only what you want.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
That's amazing.
So I'm sharing that with as many people as I can. You know, watch what you say because
watch
it will
you
be your reality. Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, I practice that all the time, and I'll be constantly – that's one of the messages that I constantly spread to people because we got all this, you know, all of this power in our tongue and in taking action.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but it's amazing that you that's the season that we're in because definitely it's about what we say and what we believe and what we put that action to. So this year is it's just this year. I tell you, my intentions for this year is just to continue to make a impact to grow more globally with the message, to do some traveling, to do more traveling, and just make it, you know, just step it up. I feel like that sometimes I'm not doing enough, so. I'm just increasing my media responsibility to just letting people know how brilliant and how valuable their gift is and that we need it, you know. So I'm encouraging a lot more collaborations and just hoping to inspire more people as I go through this journey called life.
Well, wow, thank you. Well, you definitely are an action person. I know you shared with me that you have at all times, I think you said at least 5 projects on the table that you're working. It might be even more than that. But, you know, I'm like, wow. And this girl is, she's a mover and a shaker. I'm speaking about Wanda D. Hollis, the motivational queen.
Yes, indeed. So, yes, indeed.
Both you and Sandy are both mover and shakers. So I'm just happy to be, you know, underneath you all shadow, you know, to be in the same arena that you're in. And so, yeah, thank you for being the role models of how you do the dang thing, you know. So,
so you want to close us out, Star? We're down to the Star.
Yes, ma'am.
We're down to the last 10 seconds. You want to close us out?
Watch your words. Watch your food. Watch your health soar. That's it.
All right. We'll be back next Thursday, you guys, with something else.
Thank you, Wanda.
As we get on this road of where do I go from here? Well, thank you. Thank you. Yes, yes. 2020. Watch your mouth. Watch what comes out of the mouth. Watch what you put in the mouth as well. So, all right. We love you guys.
All right, everybody. Bye.
Peace. Bye-bye.